faithful Patreon subscriber, and welcome to the third episode of The Nexus, the WHM Star Trek podcast where we're talking TOS and TOG an episode at a time. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside the whole gang, Steven Sadak, Christopher Cabin, and Eric Siska.
Christopher Cabin's first appearance on The Nexus.
First Nexus.
Yeah. He is beamed in. He was delivering some peppers to the crew here.
The chief finally got the beam capacity to get Cabin in here.
Right, yeah.
It was a long wait. I lost faith for a long time.
had to beam you in shifts.
So starting us off with Star Trek, the original series, the episode in question, Charlie X, original air date, September the 15th, 1966. This is, it's kind of just a ripoff of that story that they used in that Twilight Zone about Anthony.
It's a Good Life, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a wonderful day, Anthony.
That was in the movie. Was that also in the series?
Oh yeah, that's a classic.
Top five episode.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That guy just turned into a Jack in the Box. Ooh, that's sick.
Yeah,
are you talking about The Simpsons?
No, that happens.
Actually happens in the. I forgot.
Man, we got some fucking Twilight Zone noobs going on here, Steve.
I do feel like I should be the one to say this. I know almost nothing about Star Trek.
What?
Other than the first three episodes of TOS, I haven't seen any more of TOS.
Sure,
I've seen the first season of TNG and like episode. I mean, when they were coming out in the 90s,
well,
I watched random ones.
Thank
but, like,
God we have this educational show that you're going to have to watch.
Whatever the mythology, I definitely don't know.
Well, we'll be here to guide you along the
way. We're all at different levels here. That's kind of part of the fun of the show.
And I love the new movies are great, I think.
Well, oh, sure.
Somebody's just like, oh, forget about it with those new movies. What, lens flares, the musical?
musical?
Dude, man, some of those hardcore Star Trek fans are ridiculous.
Oh, totally.
It's like, dude, half of your movies and half of your episodes are trash.
That's the point of this whole thing.
But that's like,
but we still love it.
Exactly.
But it's okay to be critical of it.
Yes.
Exactly.
So here we are talking about Charlie X. So this episode is basically they beam this teenager onto the Enterprise, and he's got all sorts of abilities and whatnot, and he's a big fucking turd.
Ugh. This is kind of like the first, this is the third time we're doing this. This is like a regular schmegular Star Trek episode. Like,
I feel like
the first one doesn't have Kirk in it. The second one, like, we don't see a ton of this ship because we're just on that planet with that weird succubi lady or whatever the fuck's going on. Mm-hmm. This is just, we're on the ship the whole time.
Yep.
Something runs afoul, and oops, he's kind of God, which happens almost every week.
They were also like sort of critical about this episode when it came out because they don't leave the Enterprise. They don't go anywhere.
We're just
hanging out on this godforsaken ship. What I love is they're like, all right, you know, we got to, we're getting this boy. He's going to be delivered to us or whatever. And the two guys from the
shipment of boys,
boy for sale. But the two dudes that drop him off, Kirk's like, hey, how about you go to our recreation room and hang out for a bit? They're like, no. It's totally fine. Just take him. We'll be on our way. And he's like, please, stay for some ale.
We don't want to die. Yeah. We're going to go.
Wait a second. This boy is damaged. I specifically said I needed some clean boys.
Well, the story is he was like marooned on a planet for years and years and years, so he's never been around people.
That is the cover story. Spock, put that in the log. The
story. Marooned. was marooned.
Whenever I have a victim, mark it marooned.
I have a shipment of boys for somebody named Bones. That's not. That doesn't seem like a good thing.
Oh no.
Yeah, those cadavers can go right down to the medical bay.
let me touch them. You know, if you want a good piece of beef, you got to feel a cow. Feel which side.
Kirk, these boys.
Clean them up!
my God.
These boys are still alive, Kirk. Better get on it. Bring the dead ones to me.
Kirk mentions at one point, by the way, he says that there are exactly 428 people on the Enterprise.
That's a reasonable, manageable number.
Yeah, you could manage 428 people.
I think we're over a G on the Enterprise, on the TNG, is that right?
Yeah, probably something like that.
I feel like that number was bandied about.
Yeah.
Really loading that ship.
So
there.
Basically, like everyone that's come on this ship in every single episode, he falls right in love with what's her face there.
Yeah. Yeoman Rand.
Yeoman Rand.
There's some great line. I don't know if... No, I think... I don't want to backtrack, but I think Kirk either says it to, like, the kid. No, he maybe says it to the two dudes. He's like, we can set you up with some of our entertainment tapes.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, we have porno boots on the booth.
You put a space quarter in.
It's you can really weird stuff.
See what's going to happen to you.
We've got it from all the galaxies, yeah. Even the slime planet.
Ever fuck slime?
Me. Slime porn? Star Trek slime porn? Sign me the fuck up.
Oh, it's out
I'm
there.
I'm curious.
Dude. Don't dude. Tell me it isn't out there.
I'm just curious. Also, lens flare? Get some of that?
Oh, yeah. Fuck that lens flare.
I can't believe it. Look at lens flare happening again.
Oh, my God. Can you believe the new Star Trek pornography? There's just lens flares all over it.
And how dare they make Star Trek exciting?
That's not my porn parody.
There's a great line. This kid's like, so yeah, he sees Yeoman Rand and he's like,
Bauga.
Yeah, he goes, are you a girl? And right there, because we all know Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right there, you're like, well, this is going to be trouble.
Kirk, where are you? Come on. And then, of course, he doesn't say, no, that's a woman. He says, yes, that is a girl.
He slaps her.
1966, Chris, come on.
He slaps her on the ass at one point because he sees these like two crewmen do it. Like these two dudes are like moving some equipment. And the guy's like, all right, Fred, I'll see you in the rec room later. And gives him like a fucking locker room slap.
Yikes.
So then he does it. Yeah, he does it to Yeoman Rand and she's just like, oh, man, I'm on Star Trek.
Well, the best thing is she's like, hey, Kirk, can you talk to this kid? Like, he slapped my ass. And then he's like, you know, there's no right way to hit a woman, which is not the right thing to say.
No.
There's never a reason to hit a woman.
Yeah, or don't do it.
Is that what he's trying to say? I don't know.
Well, yeah, he just says there's no right way to do it.
You could do it. It's wrong.
He literally says there's no right way to hit a woman. But I've known to be wrong. Several times.
And now this Charlie X kid is looking up to him like a father figure.
Big problem.
You know?
Yeah, because Jim Kirk don't want no kids.
He just called me Charlie X.
Why does he sound like Sean Connery?
Because he's a noted domestic abuser.
Oh, okay.
Right. I got you.
Of course. A proud tradition of domestic abuse.
Uh-huh.
He's sexually harassing women, Jim. So naturally, he's viewing you as a father figure.
Exactly right. There's a great scene between Kirk, Bones, and Spock where Kirk's like, all right, Bones, you have to go talk to him about not slapping ass. And he's like, nah, Jim, I really don't give a shit, and I think it should be you. And he's like, no, you're wrong. I give less of a shit, and I'm the captain. This isn't a friendly chat. It's a command.
Fucked all these girls.
Captain, I couldn't give any less of a shit if you held me underwater.
Spock still in this episode is showing a little bit of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. And no. I mean, also, this is like probably the first scene between Spock, Bones, and Kirk, like kind of just hanging out.
Just chatting, just gabbing.
Which is what you want.
And already Bones is like, fuck you, Spock.
Oh, big time, dude.
Fuck, he's just a fucking die, Spock.
Shook that Vulcan's hand. I'm going to go wash him.
So at one point, we're down, like pretty early in the episode, we're at like the dining hall or something, and yeah. We got Spock playing this harp.
Oh, man, it's embarrassing.
And then Uhura does this fucking specious routine about Spock, which is just really uncomfortable. She's like, devil ears and devil eyes.
Ooh.
He's a monster. He's not a person.
And this is where, like, you see Spock. He's like playing this thing. He's like, I want to fucking strangle her. But he's kind of got like this annoyed look on his face while he plays this harp. Oh, he's pissed. He's fucking Vulcan pissed.
There are things I could say, but I'm not going to say them.
Fuck this. I'm going to start playing Joanna Newsom. She's only like 30 years away.
Or no, she's hundreds of years past.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's a classic music. Yeah.
Joanna.
It's Vivaldi, Joanna Newsom,
the Beastie Boys. Yes. And obviously Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, obviously.
Of course.
A little bit of Korn in the afternoon never hurt anyone.
So this kid is a hermit, so he thinks what's going to impress ladies is magic. So let me let you know.
By the way, classic mistake. Any young listener using their parents' credit card to pay for this episode? Never use magic, right?
You'll never impress any sexual partners.
No one cares about magic.
No one gets turned on by illusions. I am sorry. That's not true.
Oh, my God. I just destroyed my underwear watching that card trick. Said no one ever in the history of humanity.
Is that a rabbit? You just pulled out of there. Oh.
Oh, yeah. He sawed it right in half. No one's left a magic show aroused.
Yeah, instead of pulling a quarter from behind your ear, pull a condom.
Oh man, yes.
That's how you do it.
I think that's what the Red Hot Chili Peppers meant by sex magic.
Probably.
I think so.
Where did that Oh my God, where did that flower come from?
And where's it going?
Does this napkin have no end?
You've got to be kidding me. No. Oh,
those rings. Oh, there's three. There's two. There's three. There's two. There's three. There's two. Oh, shit. There's so many rings.
That was my card.
Well, if he could do that, imagine what he could do in the bedroom.
Probably nothing. Yes.
Thank you, Chris. So he is doing card tricks, and he's like, you want to see something funny? And like her picture, Yeoman Rand's picture goes on like all the cards and whatnot. And she's like, well, this is strange. Like right there, you have to be like, there's magic afoot.
Yeah.
Like,
space magic.
Yeah, she's very like, well, that's strange. Like, no. This dude is doing outright magic right now. And he starts with the high note. He's doing the picture thing. And then he's like, guess the card. Where is it? Oh, it's in your bra.
So she's like, all right, this kid's way too young. Like, and she's being like, you know, it's like a kid in school has a crush on the teacher.
Yeah.
She's just like, all right. And she brings like some other yeoman who's 17 years old, a 17-year-old girl on the Enterprise. Get me the nearest escape pod.
Girl for sale.
What are you doing taking my goods out?
Yeah, man. Like, this is a rapey space station.
It's weird.
That yeoman is officially marooned. She's not supposed to be seen by the crew.
Parker has marooned.
I'm sorry, Jim. She got out of sick bay. I gave her a pretty strong sedative. I don't know how.
It's like a tag team.
We got a fighter here, Jim.
It's uncomfortable.
She's like, oh, wouldn't you much prefer like to hang out with someone your own age? And this dude like totally blows this chick off. And she's like, well, fine, I'll just go someplace where someone will bother to sexually harass me.
Yeah, I'm wearing this ridiculous outfit. Nobody's looking at me.
Kirk, where are you? Oh, Kirk?
I'm on my way. So she goes up to Kirk because he's getting more aggressive. And Kirk is really put out by the idea of this is why there needs to be an HR on more than anything else. Because who could she go to? She has to go to this fucking pervert and ask to please stop being harassed. And he's like, well, he's not an official member of the crew, so yeah, that's an outsider. Yeah, I'll take care of it. If it was a crew member, that's okay. That's all well and good.
Yeah, I won't condemn my own staff, but this total stranger, sure. So he's like, he says something to Kirk. They're talking. It's kind of funny. He's like, well, I did something to Yeoman Ren. She got mad at me. And he's like, well, just spit it out, boy. What is it? And he like can't figure out like how to articulate it. So this kid is just like slapping William Shatner on the ass. That must have been tough for Shatner to swallow.
He's just gritting. You can hear. It's like the Simpsons episode where you can hear Marge grind.
And so basically, they're doing like calisthenics in the gym.
This gym, I love. It's like an American Gladiators gym.
It's so awesome.
It's just like everyone's doing like throws.
By the way, our TNG episode also features an American Gladiators gym.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's always connections there.
It's the connection.
We're just practicing like hip tosses and leg drops.
Oh, yeah. He like wants to learn how to defend himself or something, but like. Shatner's trying to teach him how to fall down in a cool way. It's like, You can't learn that until you learn to fall down.
Well, you can't. Yeah. Well, he's like, you know, you got to learn that, the basics of, you know, fighting, how to take care of yourself in a fight.
The Shatner roll. Step one, Shatner roll.
And it's a total Shatner roll, too. And there's just some, like, you know, 1960s fucking beefcake dude. Like, this dude's like greasy and hairy and laughing at this kid.
And he sends him away.
Yeah, which is just like this dude turns into light and vanishes. And you know what? Not enough of an appropriate response from Captain Kirk here. He's just like, where did he go?
What the fuck would be my first?
Yeah, like,
well, this is why you're not a captain.
Of course, because I would be like, oh, disappearing. Of course,
well,
everybody
disappears. Granted, he's like, you know, faceless crew member Grit Flint Whistle, you know, but like.
What did you do with Grint?
Yeah, he's part of the team, man. You got to be concerned about poor old Grit Flint Whistle.
The Flint Whistles go way back in Starfleet. Yeah. That's like a legacy.
That's an interesting thing is that it's
Admiral Flint Whistle. What happened to my son?
Kirk had one job.
I think in the early TOS they're still called Commodores, right?
You got some Commodores going on.
Maybe
also,
both.
This episode is before they came up with the idea of Starfleet. Like, I don't remember what it's called, but like Kirk throws some other thing out there.
All right. There's also, I think there's other ships that come into play, and they actually have a different symbol. Like the Starfleet symbol was just the Enterprise symbol this early on.
Yeah. So there's some other. Also, this dude like blows up that ship that he was on at one point.
They're going to take him back, or he was close or whatever. So he just like kind of, you hear them like explode off screen, obviously. And
we
don't have the money for that.
No.
He also melts. We get our first 3D chess set, which I love. 3D chess is the best.
Yeah. Is that a thing like nerds can play? Like, can I buy that and
somebody's
play it?
Figured that out, I'm sure.
Because I've seen it in like catalogs and shit, like those Sky Mall things and whatnot. Well, you can buy them, but it's like, are there real rules to it?
There must
gotta be.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, if we're speaking Klingon.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they do that fucking nonsense.
Wait, you guys want to play 3D chess and talk Klingon? That might be a fun afternoon.
Yeah, you know what? It might be.
Checkmate.
And then I'll round
checkmate.
Out the...
Checkmate.
Then I'll round out the evening making comments on Ain't It Cool News.
Oh, man. That's
do
a
it
low
all.
Blow.
Dude, that's a fucking sick Saturday right there.
The idea that Kirk could beat Spock at 3D chess is ridiculous.
And Spock even says, he's like, I fucking hate the way you play this, but well done.
You do it all fucking wrong.
Chess, not checkers, you idiot.
So then Kirk's like, all right, why don't you play with Mr. Spock? And then, like, this kid has a fucking temper tantrum.
A tizzy. I would say it's a tizzy.
And Spock's like, I'm just going to leave now. It's a really great, like, I'm getting the fuck out of this scene.
Goodbye.
And then, like, this kid, like, when he uses his powers, it's so stupid. He, like, rolls his eyes back in his head like the fucking Undertaker. And then you see, like, all the chess pieces have melted, and you're like, oh, this kid's dangerous.
The sickest part of this whole episode, so people are laughing on the there's a lot of grab ass. It's the 60s, you know? There's a bunch of people laughing, like, in a corridor, and, like, I think the kid just got laughed at, so he's like, stop laughing! And then somebody has no face.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's also very Twilight Zone.
I wish you didn't have a face.
Just send me into the nothing, really, kid.
Yes,
fucking don't play with, you know, all this.
Because also, like, this woman—it's a woman that this happens to. She like turns the corner and she's like, you know, talk about dropping dead because you can't breathe. There's no holes on that.
That's true. Unless he was like had foresight to put like holes in her back or something.
Jim, I was going to inspect this young lady for holes, but I thought maybe the captain would like to do that.
Oh, God. Around 1 a.m. 1 a.m. space time.
God.
These are not, well, we're doing characters of them being space criminals. So
it's the ultimate universe.
You know what? Thanks for laying that out for everybody.
A couple spice traders here.
I just want to say it's disgusting, and I condemn my own jokes.
There you go. That's important.
Gonna cover your tracks.
I mean, there's comments below.
So my favorite part is when so the kid is still like obsessed with this older woman. And like, what's her name? I'm sorry.
Yeoman Rand.
Yeoman. Okay. So he's obsessed with her.
Yeoman is like the position she holds.
Right. Oh, yes. I didn't know.
It's like below ensign or something. Someone will comment below and tell me to watch a fucking TV show.
A lot of exclamation points on that one. So he does it again and she's like, oh, crap. Okay. So she goes back to Kirk and she's like, look, he needs to be told it's never gonna happen. Uh-huh. Could you tell him it's never gonna happen? He goes into this little room with the kid and he's like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that.
You see, Charlie, persistence is key.
But right. Yeah, that's the thing. It's
we got to remind her.
Right when you're supposed to say, stay away from this woman. She doesn't, you know, she's trying to be nice to you. Just, you know, keep it cool here.
Not going
to
happen.
He says, just wait. Be patient. Slow down. And I'm like, dude, just fucking say no.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Not on Captain Kirk's Enterprise. You're not getting that.
It's the 60s, man.
She's mine. I'm Kirk. Come on, man. Yeah,
that's right.
Part of my little harem.
Can I tell you my favorite part of this episode?
Please.
Is there's a random cut to someone's like coming up to Kirk. Maybe it's Yeoman Rand. Someone's coming up to bother him about something. And we start the scene with Kirk. He's talking to another crew person. And what he says is, he's like, well, if we have to spend Thanksgiving out in space and my crew has to eat meatloaf, it better taste like good meatloaf if we can't have turkey. Or like something like that. And I'm like, So Captain Kirk is bothering to like micromanage the Thanksgiving feast. And by the way, is that the Enterprise chef?
I think it was the Enterprise chef. We've talked about him before. We finally see him.
Which is so great. You only see him from behind, by the way. It's another Flint grist whistle.
So he's just like manhandling all this meat. Is that what's going on? There's just fucking there's ground chuck on this Enterprise.
Oh, there's chuck? There's a chuck cabinet.
This is before replicators, I believe. Yeah. So we're actually eating real food, like real humans should.
But you're all from fucking like West Neptune or some fucking bullshit.
Who
cares about Thanksgiving in this fucking universe?
That's a good point.
But no, this shows Chris's lack of Star Trek.
Oh,
knowledge,
okay. Here I'm about to get scolded.
Because Kirk is from Iowa, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure they
have Thanksgiving in Iowa, Chris.
If he wants to be in his
If you're from Iowa, comment below.
If he wants to be in his room with a couple fucking slices of turkey and some cranberry sauce, that's just fucking fine. Making the whole goddamn Klingons and fucking whatever.
No, not this time. No. There's no Klingons on this ship. In this series, they hate each other.
Strange goddamn aliens. You're making them all fucking sit around and talk about fucking...
These flip-flops are going to learn about the pilgrims.
No, it's my goddamn ship, and we had Thanksgiving every third week, Thursday of November in Iowa, so that's what we're going to have on our ship. November hasn't existed in years. I don't care.
The Roman calendar has not been outlawed on my ship.
Charlie, if anybody speaks ill of Thanksgiving, send them nowhere.
Speaks ill of Thanksgiving.
I do want to keep this kid around.
Could clean house a little bit.
All those Thanksgiving naysayers.
Jim, I just realized it would be easier for Charlie to vanish the corpses versus me using the lie.
Oh, good. Thank God. There's trouble on the ship. Maybe the Thanksgiving pageant will be canceled. No, it won't.
Captain, this Thanksgiving turkey's disgusting. Can I just sit in my quarters?
Captain, it's illogical to celebrate a holiday where you committed genocide on another race.
No, none of that again. What have I told you about that?
Jim, if you ask me one more time to put a feather in my hair, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, my God.
So, it starts to escalate.
Uhura gets hilariously electrocuted at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. But, Bones... Bones, Spock, and Kirk are working on a plan. They're like, well.
Oh, Charlie also turns a lady into a lizard.
That's a great one.
He turns Tina.
It's that young yeoman.
Oh, well, he turns into an old lady, right?
No,
a different woman.
Oh, right. He's just a fucking. It's an assault on women this week.
It's fucking great because. And you feel terrible for this actress because it's not. The young actress with age makeup on, they just cut to old hands and then it tilts up and it's an old lady. And this legit old lady has to react like, I'm hideous! Which is just horrible. But yeah, that woman.
Some 1960s director. Yeah, so you're going to be scared of yourself. Yeah. Well, why? Because you're fucking disgusting.
You want the job or not?
You're fucking disgusting, and you're going to die soon. So get ready for that.
You're going to die soon. That's nice to think about when you're watching Star Trek. Count the dead people.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. How many hands you got?
Yeah, it's that teenage yeoman that Rand tries to set him up with. She's like, oh, it's you again. And he's like, lizard.
Iguana.
Yeah.
Lizard. Yeah. So, but they spider. Now you are Spider-Man.
It'd be cool if there was, you know, evil Romani roaming the galaxy.
Sure.
The geriatric. On no faces.
So, like, things are really heating up at this point, and then all of a sudden, like, this giant head comes out of nowhere? Well,
one thing I do want to mention, so they make this plan, they're like, oh, you know, maybe if we, like, you know, we overexert his power.
Oh, because he takes over the Enterprise entirely.
Right. But that's the thing, is this, we're not crossing any lines. People have been vanished, and Yeoman Rand has been vanished at this point.
Right.
People have been turned into lizards, people don't have faces anymore, but the second Charlie's cheeks touch Kirk's chair.
Oh, yeah.
That's
that's too far.
That is. He's like, Charlie, get out of my chair. Get out of it now. It's like this weird, like, that is
do it. What he says, kid.
He's trying to be like the father figure, the parent, like disciplining, like, no, Charlie, that's bad. But when it threatens him is when it really happens.
Charlie. Do you want to be taken apart at the hinges?
Yeah, well, it's threats of convenience. It's only when it's, oh, my fucking chair.
They kind of fight for a second, and Charlie, like, gives him indigestion. And he falls down for a second, and he's just like, my insides.
There's some fucking ridiculous thing where, like, Spock's trying to, like, relay important information, and he starts, like, messing with his speech. And there's this great thing where Leonard Nimoy just has to go, tiger, tiger, burning bright.
Yes.
Fucking funny.
But yeah, this big green-headed guy is like, oh, we were part of the race of the green-headed guys the whole time.
And he's like, you know, oh, I don't want to go back to them or whatever. And this is, it's kind of a dark turn for Star Trek.
It is.
So early on in the series, because you figure, like, you know, everyone's always trying to do good in the world of Star Trek. Like, Kirk is even saying, like, hey, man, you know, let him stay with us. We can train him to be a human being. It'll be cool.
Because he's like, I'll never do it again. He's, like, really freaking out.
He's losing it. He doesn't want to go back to the big heads. And then the dude
what
is just...
What are these big heads doing to him?
Oh, I don't
know. The green ghostians, you mean?
Yeah, the green ghostians. And he's like, no, this shall be our boy again. And this kid is just like, nah! And just vanishes. And they're all like, well... That was something.
And then Uhura was like, they're leaving. They're back in the car up down the driveway. They're gone. They took the kid.
Are we cool with this? I guess we're cool with this, yeah, right? He was bothering us.
It's like Mystic River. He just gets in the back of that cop car and everyone's waving in the street.
It just vanishes talking about vampires.
It is something. How many races of completely omnipotent beings are there in the Star Trek universe? 59? Like,
there's got to be a lot.
Wouldn't they fight at some point?
Yeah, like, it should be like the War of the Know-It-Alls.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that could be the next new movie. The Battle of the Gods.
Oh, yeah, totally. You
get Q involved.
Dude, you got to bring John Delancey back.
He's got to come out on top, I think. Yeah. Of course.
Fan
favorite. You know, like he beats the shit out of a green-faced floating thing.
Actually, yeah, if Star Trek... the new Star Trek 4 was to bring anything from TNG, I would like them to bring back Q. Q, I think, was one of the
characters.
But you can't recast. That's A number one. You can't recast.
Yep. He's timeless.
I agree.
Totally
just
timeless.
Yeah, just have him be old and be like, whatever.
He's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he's just old today. He could pick his form, you fuck.
I'll tell you this, though. John DeLancey's still looking good.
Oh really?
Great. A little makeup.
He's awesome.
He looks great in Breaking Bad.
You got some John DeLancey pics over there?
Yeah, dude. Bend over and I'll show you.
Sex me John DeLancey's number.
Oh, man. If I had John DeLancey's number, he'd change it so quickly. just like, oh, God. No, Steven. I know it's your birthday. I'm not going to say. Just leave me alone.
I'm not going to call you Picard, Steve. I'm not going to call you Jean-Luc Picard. Just stop it. Or Captain. I don't care.
Could you record me a voicemail message that I could use for my voicemail? Say that Steve's at the continuum right now.
No, Eric.
Hang up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm changing this number.
Yeah, and it's great because they kind of... Well, it's weird because, like, Yeoman Rand comes back, but you never see, like, faceless person get changed back? Poor lizard girl.
They don't. The guy does say like all is returned, but we don't know that.
Like, how does that dude know like all the damage that's been done?
Exactly.
Where's Flint Gristwhistle?
Yeah, no, Grint Flintwhistle.
Oh, Grint Flintwhistle.
Yeah,
that's right.
Flint Gristwhistle is the chef.
Oh,
you switched them. I think you did. That's how you switched them.
Oh, it gets confusing.
Yeah.
You know, just a lot of Italian-American extras they have on this set.
Yes. A lot of bananas on this episode.
Yeah, and I love the ending of this because it's just like...
All right.
Like, let us never talk of this again.
Who's ready for a fuck?
Mark him down as marooned.
Yeah, that kid's marooned as hell, dude. Oh, man. And then, yeah, that's the end of it. We just cut to credits. Everyone awkwardly, like, looking around.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I don't know. I like this episode.
I like it, too.
I thought it was a good episode.
I thought
yeah.
it was a pretty strong one.
It makes you just want to watch that Twilight Zone episode.
It does, yeah.
Which is awesome.
It's one of the best.
Eric, you got to watch that.
I will, because I remember the one from the... No, I have seen a handful...
Yeah.
A good amount.
What are you doing
Twilight
on New Year's Eve? My God.
Or 4th of July.
Honeymooners, baby.
Oh, right. That's acceptable. It's
that
acceptable.
Is acceptable.
Drinking?
What do you think I'm doing?
What do you think Jackie Gleason's doing?
But that movie's
drinking
not...
in the grave.
The Honeymooners movie is horrible.
Oh, no. I was
with Cedric
about...
the Entertainer and Mike Epps.
Oh, God. That
it
sounds
is
terrible.
Horrible.
The Twilight Zone movie is yes. not so hot.
No, it's terrible.
That was the Joe Dante portion, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, it's terrible. That whole thing sucks.
I actually kind of like the Twilight Zone movie.
Really?
There's parts of it that I kind of I'm cool
I'm
with.
It's like a 3.5 out of 5. Like, it's not yeah. like, oh my God. It's
yeah.
like
okay.
enjoyable.
The,
and
the,
I like,
the
I
Vic
really
Morrow
like
the Morrow part was good, but sadly,
it's a little hard to watch.
A little tainted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming up next on the program, we go into TNG land, and it's probably the most racist they ever get. Stay tuned. So this is Star Trek The Next Generation, Chris Cabin. This is the next
yes.
show.
See, this one I know much more about.
Okay, right. So to get you to speed,
sure.
Next Generation means that Picard is Kirk's son.
Yes, of course. And
he's a little baby.
And I'm assuming at some point they take, 3 hours to explain that? At some
yeah,
point.
Yeah. they're all little babies from the original crew.
Yeah,
it's
all
Star
about,
Trek Jr.
It's all about, you know, paternity and
Star
the father
Trek
of the son.
Babies.
They make your dreams come true.
The episode in question, Code of Honor. Original air date, October the 10th, 1987. What
sure
I love,
not, you said 87, right? Not 67.
Yeah,
not,
this
not
is 87.
Not 1947.
Well, fucking 37.
Here's the crazy thing: is so far, I mean, the pilot, the 2-part pilot of TNG was great.
Yeah,
but so far, the original series is blowing them out of the water.
Oh, it is, and it's astounding that this wasn't canceled immediately.
Exactly, because this is boy.
After this, I mean. Between this and the fucking orgy episode we just fucking got done with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how people were sticking around for this shit.
Well, it's like you're watching that orgy one and you're like, man, they're all like fucking in the second episode. Like, that's bizarre. Where could this show go? Oh, horrendous racist depths.
So there's a space virus going on.
Yeah,
that's
big time.
Ravaging some planet, and the only place that has a cure or a vaccine. Is this place, what is it, the Loanians?
So that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got
just
it.
Watch out how you say it.
Ligonians.
Oh, the Ligonians.
Yes.
That's right.
It's Ligonians. And, like, they're about to meet them because they're ambassador. And I think it's Kirk talking to Data, or is it Kirk talking to...
Kirk's not there.
Picard talking to Data.
Picard, who's also known as Kirk Jr.
Kirk Jr., that's why I keep getting their son. But he's like... Oh, it's so funny. They have the same history as humans. It's such an odd coincidence.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. And we show up and whoops, they're all black guys.
They're all black guys. They're all carrying spears.
They wear robes, yeah. And they have tribal drums. It is very... It's a weird turn for Star Trek.
Pretty yeah. strange stuff you got here, Rottenberry. I got to tell you.
It's fucking misguided.
More like Rottenberry. At least this week.
I'll tell you this, though, according to the Tribune, and actually look up this episode on the Tribune, the trivia is just filled with quotes from all the actors being like, this is the biggest piece of shit we ever did.
Oh, really?
Fuck this episode. It's the worst, most racist piece of shit.
It's just so weird, and especially like... You have African, like you have a much more diverse cast. Michael Dorn is not even in this episode. Maybe he just walked.
Refused, maybe. Yeah. I mean, his voice is in it briefly, like on an intercom.
I think that's someone faking Worf, though.
Are you serious? You can't fake a Worf. SAG should get involved.
I was like, that sounds like someone doing a Worf impression.
Well, the weird, it would be funny. It's just like, well, we're going to meet the Ligonians. And it's this whole thing about like, oh, you have to do their certain cultures. It's like, Geordi, why don't you come along with us? Yeah. No reason.
Yeah. That does like, not happen.
It's like Mad Men when in the first episode they're looking for a Jewish guy to meet the head of the department store. But again, this is 1987. It's not 1965. Like yeah. the yeah. show, this is not progressive for the 1960s episodes.
Yeah, no, it's confounding. And the thing I was going to say about the Tribune trivia, apparently Roddenberry fired the director of this episode like halfway through directing it because of all this shit. And some other dude had to come in and just clean it up.
Wouldn't a lot of this be in the writing, though?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the first thing you'd want to get?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing is like...
Again, it's Tribune trivia.
Okay.
You know, if you had them be like a multi-ethnic...
Yeah. Alien and, race.
Or what? Or, yeah. or just gleep clops. Then just, it's
get
like,
some forehead
okay,
ridges on there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you've got... It's a Star Trek The Next Generation. We've got a whole fucking drawer full of prosthetic forehead ridges.
But I bet the director was probably instructing the art director to make it more and more.
That's fair.
Yeah.
He's trying to say something.
With the wardrobe. Like, come on.
Just put a stupid hat on him and let's move on.
And the funny thing is... Exactly. And the sad thing is, like, I mean... There might be something there with like it's an African American dominated society or something like, but it's not
African American.
Well, not African. Well,
Ligonian.
Whatever it is, like
black. You can. It's not against the law to say black. Steve.
It is sometimes. No, but a black dominated society. Then this is their planet, but they have to be primitive. That's the thing. It's like they don't understand stuff. Like they have their own teleport. Like it's very strange. They have medical science. They have their own teleporters.
Oh right.
But they have no spaceships, apparently. They don't have, like...
It's weird. And Data even says something about, like, their method of beaming people is different than ours somehow.
Yeah. And it would be very different.
It gives you the craps, is what he says.
You'll shit your pants.
If it's one thing if you want to, like, they go down and they, like, learn about the society. And it's a vast landscape. And you actually have to deal with things. It's not, as it turns out. It's really not.
Well, you're just at a studio in Burbank. As always, you're on a soundstage.
I don't need them to be walking the earth. I mean, in the place, meet a bunch of different people.
Well, that's I'm a doctor. Yeah, I'm a poet.
But
that's
what this show loves doing. And it's definitely doing it in this episode where they're just like, we've been studying these people for weeks on our way to this planet. So we're all experts about this culture already.
And the funny thing is, it's always like, it's like a test with a right answer every time. Well, oh, if he's doing this, you have to do that. If you're doing, like, that's not how fucking people work.
it's also something prime directive, by the way, that's getting bandied about in this.
So they need this serum. They meet Tasha Yar.
Right.
And they're instantly attracted to her because she's like a strong woman, which I guess doesn't really exist on their planet or something.
Yeah.
It's got this weird thing where it's like the women are like the landowners. They own the property and then they pick a mate to rule it. So like the dudes are like trying to show their strength. But yet it still seems kind of... It doesn't seem female
and shitty.
Empowering.
No, it's super
sexist and shitty, I think, is the...
But so they're impressed with Yar, so they're like, we hear about... And this is what I would do if I was the first... Step one, I'm on the fucking new Enterprise. Get me on the holodeck. And that's what they're like.
Oh, totally. And it's like, you know, Picard is like, you know... You can do a lot of very entertaining things on here. And you're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Fucking sex tourism.
Picard always gives the worst gift to these people, right? He gives these like, here is a tiny horse, and they always have to like fucking grin and bear it.
Dude, that's
great. Another tiny horse.
There's a grave mistake that's made in that boardroom scene. So he's like, here's this tiny horse. It's from the Han Dynasty in the 14th century. Data's like, 13th century. Dude, you correct Captain Picard right in front of all these fucking
dude,
people?
Dude, not a mixed company.
No way, dude. You're getting fucking dismantled once these people leave. Power down, Data.
How dare you?
A robot talk to me like this. Data, get out of here.
I'm going to torture you on the holodeck.
How about if I just took your whole head off?
That's what could have happened. It's the first of two times in this episode that Data mouths off to him.
Yeah, much like what you said about Spock, Data's not there yet either. Like, he's still a little emotional, kind of joking around here and there and blah, blah, blah. So basically, they kidnap Yar because they're fucking monsters,
right? Like,
or the word savage would be used,
right? Yeah, like, she shows them how to do this like Aikido program on the holodeck, and this dude gets like rock hard.
She puts a gi on over her Star Trek uniform, which makes no sense.
Well, she's not gonna change in front of these people,
but don't put a gi on at all. All it's doing is hindering your movement at that point.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It makes no sense.
They're also very like, you know, because they're technologically primitive compared, and they're
right. Yeah, oh, they're totally blown away by
yeah,
this.
They're like, you could create people.
Oh, well, the line is, you can create mans without souls, and I'm like, dude, come on.
This is witchcraft.
And you can transport people from A to B. You've seen something like this.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, almost every scene in this movie, in this episode, is like, let's just make sure they know they're not as good as us. So, like, the Aikido scene to me is amazing because she beats the shit out of they run the Aikido simulation.
Right. Sure. Right.
And she, like, kicks the shit out of this.
Yeah, she throws this computer person across the
Steven
room.
Steven Seagal.exe.
One of the greatest warriors of the fucking Longolians goes up.
The evil Longolians.
The evil Agorias. He immediately gets like emasculated, beaten by a computer.
Oh, sure.
Because this is progress, Chris. These backwaters.
See, Tasha Yar was secretly on God mode.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it. That'll do it.
This is actually pretty progressive for like 18th century.
So they're like, oh, thank you so much for. They give them one sample of the vaccine. They're like, oh, we'll give you more in a couple of days.
Right.
And then they're like, bye. And they grab Yar and they kidnap her because, you know, it's on a different frequency. And Picard, it's interesting because, like, he's ready to lay waste to this planet because he's like, yep. I've got your... Send them a warning blast. Like, he's going to invade a planet with his fucking superior starship, which is pretty cool.
Why not?
It's pretty hair-trigger Picard, and it's awesome.
What's that? It just turns out kidnapping women is part of their customs?
Data's like, by the way, if this episode isn't offensive enough... we're also going to blame some of this on Native Americans.
Yep.
Because he starts, like, prattling on about how, like, well, Native Americans just steal things sometimes, and it's their culture to do so. And I was like, what in the ever-loving fuck? This isn't my Star Trek. This isn't my tolerant, accepting, open-minded Star Trek.
Captain, the phrase Indian giver comes to mind.
Yes, but the lens flares.
Oh, it's a lens flare. Oh, no.
So, there's in the actual worst scene of this episode doesn't have the Longonians or anything in it. It's between Picard and Crusher, and it's the worst written scene I've ever seen ever put to film.
Yeah.
Because she comes in and she's like, Captain, this virus is killing everybody. And he's like, what the fuck? Oh, right.
Yeah, virus.
Good thing you're not going to give me any specifics on that. And she's like, yeah, don't worry about it. She's like, you have to get the cure. You have to get it. Oh, where are those damned calluses that we doctors are supposed to develop in the course of it? I'm like, what? What?
And then amazingly, he's like, yes, that is a problem. And she's like, by the way, I'd like to talk to you about my son, Wesley. And I was like, no. Yeah. One thing at a time. Yeah. Sort this fucking plague out and then talk about your son's internship.
Wesley's on the bridge.
He's waiting in the turbo lift. As you'll remember, you said, no boys on the bridge.
Yeah, well, we're missing a crew member. And yes, lives are at stake.
And so there's a virus destroying a planet. Can we just stop?
To take your son to work day, shit, we'll have to wait one episode.
It's so astoundingly inappropriate at the moment.
And she's, and he's like, well, I guess I have been a bit of an ogre. So the best part is, like, Wesley's about to go on the ship, and Riker's, like, rolling his sleeves up, about to escort him off.
He's getting ready to hit this kid. Really grab him by the arm.
And he's like, no, put Wesley down in, why don't you sit at calm for a second there? And the comm officer has to be like, you've got to be kidding me.
It's fucking Geordi.
I've worked my ass off to get here.
In this episode specifically, telling Geordi to go his tiny little white motherfucker.
But are you smarter than a fifth grader? Because this fifth grader can run the comm and dock the ship.
There's an awesome line that happens because he's like, oh, why don't you go sit next to Mr. LaForge at the comm? And then like Geordi's like, sit next to me at the comm. And Riker's like, the comm? And Wesley's like, the comm? And then Picard loses it. And he goes, is the whole ship deaf? It's, like, it's a fucking great line.
Again, we're at war with the whole planet here, guys. Let's just...
Can we just...
And we're cracking jokes the whole time? Like, again, we don't know what's happening to Yar. Lord, this, she's been kidnapped. She's been taken.
You know what? Yeah. She's presumed dead.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And totally.
Tasha Yar.
I know it's in the background the whole time, but I really must... Lower Jupiter is being ravaged by space Ebola, and you're fucking doing this shit? Are you serious?
Yes, we are serious. Now, Tasha, call out any tattoos you might see. give us a warning of who is... Oh, we saw them be kidnapped? Oh. Okay. Oh, we know who.
We know exactly who did it. Well, this is quite different.
So we go down to the planet, and like Troy goes, and it's all this like, all right, when he says... jump, you say this, and all this. We're doing that shit, but like, he's like, I want to see Tasha Yar now! And she comes out, and like, because she's the tough character, like, her guard has a black eye or something, which is cool, but she's still just been kidnapped. She's kidnapped bait. Like, it's not progressive that the lady gets kidnapped here. Like, you could make her as tough as you want.
Yeah. Oh, but they kidnap her because they're sexually interested in her. Yeah. Does that help?
The main guy.
Does
that help? A little bit.
There's a great exchange, like moments before they go down to the planet where, like, Data's trying to explain something. And he's like, it's taken from the French word, blah, blah, blah. French was a language and blah, blah, blah. That's, you know, not necessary in today's society and whatever. And Picard's like, excuse me. You know my name is Jean-Luc Picard, right? You know who you're fucking talking to, robot.
Do you want me to send you to the fucking Marseille?
And it's
it's
interesting because...
Take off my belt and beat the shit out of this robot.
We've been talking about, I think it was on another episode of The Nexus, about how... We were wondering whether or not other languages existed on Earth, or was it just English? And I think what this episode confirms is that it is an English-dominated world, because Data's like, well, Captain, why the fuck would you care about the French language anymore? Well, it's dead.
Captain, the popularization of things like movies and blue jeans have rendered all other languages useless, and now it's just English, and that's what the Federation is.
Oh, that's this makes perfect sense, because they're just giving away fucking Han Dynasty horses to anybody who'll come by.
Dude, it's just garbage. It's Earth's cultural garbage.
It's just like, whatever, man.
Yeah, and the start of Earth culture now is James Dean movies.
Riker, like, grabs this robot by the shoulder, and he's like, Data, let this one go.
Yeah.
It's great. So we're on the planet.
So basically, there's a challenge issued by the woman, by the leader's wife there, because he's like,
Lutan is like the leader.
Lutan is like, look, I'm taking this woman as my first one,
right?
And then the other one, his current first one, this other lady gets up, is like, well, I challenge her to the ancient rite of whatever the fuck,
which is a fight to the death.
It's your classic fight to the death. And. Geordi and Data have to examine these weapons that are all poison-edged and whatever.
Sure.
It seems...
Which, you know, not for nothing, Enterprise crew, this is all a bit of cheating.
Yeah, yes.
Like, they secretly beam down. He's like, quick, go examine that wall of weaponry while I distract them with some pithy conversation.
Yeah, they're Belichicking it, right? Videotaping things out of
time. Mr. Data, please deflate this sword. And they're like, yeah, all this shit's fucking poisonous.
I'm just imagining Picard in an oversized frumpy hooded sweatshirt.
I cut the sleeves off myself.
I was kind of actually thinking of him with the Tom Brady hat with the
the ball on it. Yeah, that's fun. Gets cold on that Enterprise. But yes, and then there's like lasers involved too.
Well, now it's a cage match, basically, is what we're in. And there's these like long, they're just like green fluorescent lights. If you touch them, you get electrocuted.
Sure.
And they basically pick like these spike hand things. This weapon's pretty cool looking.
And every one is poisoned. So all it needs to do is touch you barely and you're fucking dead.
Totally dead in a second. And it's kind of awesome because at one point, like, Tasha's like fighting this woman and the woman's thing goes flying and it like this dude catches it like a t-shirt in the crowd and he's like, oh, wait a second. It's kind of like a Naked Gun joke.
It kind of is.
And this dude just like drops dead and they're like, oh, whoops, let me just grab that. And the whole time it's like there's some sort of plan being concocted and the audience is like,
left out of
what's going on and whatnot. So like Tasha strikes this woman, she falls down dead. Tasha jumps on her. They beam them up to the Enterprise, and you know there's Crusher to like
revive her,
fix it. You know,
because it, again, all of the medical science in Starfleet, and we can't figure out this one thing, and also we can't figure out how to replicate the one small vaccine vial they got.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, it's unstable. I don't know,
something.
Put it in the fucking Back to the Future 2 microwave. It'll become a big vat of fucking.
We have
cure.
We have replicators.
Like, why can't they just like synthesize it or like?
Yeah, you have one. That's all you need.
Look at it. Yeah,
that's all you need. Yeah,
but just look at it.
So they bring her back.
I need a vat of goop. These people will die if I don't have a vat of goop.
They bring Lutan back, and like Lutan's like, "Oh, you cheated.
Yeah.
Now you won't get the vaccine." He's like, "Ah, oh, I don't believe I did cheat. By your primitive rules, she did die, but we used our white science to bring her back."
God, yeah.
It's the best science, it turns out.
You know, Lutan, I think you might even be able to call it black magic.
It's disgusting.
This episode is disgraceful.
I mean, they do a twist at the end, which could be okay in another episode. Basically, what happens is she chooses his underling. She's like now brought back. She's like the leader still.
Yeah.
So she like deposes him because she has all the power in society, I guess.
There's some hilarious line about how like Lutan's broke and like needs to stay married to this woman or something. That's like the number two, like lets it slip. Like, yeah, boss, you better stay married to her because without her, you're in serious hot water. Financially speaking. And he's like, shut up, you.
Yeah, it's a big Lifetime movie, really. He's just trying to kill this woman for her money.
There's a great moment we didn't talk about, by the way. LeVar Burton using an electric razor.
Oh yeah. That's kind of fun. Space shaving in space.
It's a space shaver, man. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have this. There's like a plague going on. A crew member has been kidnapped. And we have to cut to this scene where Data's like, Geordi, I've been working on telling jokes, and you're shaving. It's like, what? What the fuck are any of you talking about?
I actually appreciate this because it's one of the only scenes in this episode where a black man isn't being belittled.
Yeah, I guess
I'm kind of into it. I'm actually kind of into it.
It's true.
Oh yeah, so Lutan gets this space divorce, and he's ruined.
They get the vaccine and save all the faceless people that you didn't see.
Well, that's what's kind of insane. Like, why can't we go to sick bay or something, see what the hell Crusher's doing?
The finger thing needs the money.
Right.
We're spending all this money on all these, you know.
We've got all these hallways here.
Yeah, these
carpeted hallways.
You know how expensive it was to spray paint a styrofoam club silver? Do you know how expensive that is?
Put some pencils on it, make it look like spikes. That's pricey.
That
shit
might cost tens of dollars.
Yes, exactly.
I'll have to go to Party City for that. And like
the idea, it's Patrick Stewart. He's on his way to work in some fucking 1987 convertible. He gets a call on his fucking his car phone.
He's a car phone.
Oh. Now I have to go to Party City to pick what up?
I could be doing Macbeth back in England.
All right, well, I'm bringing you the receipt. Yes, you're damn right I will. I'm not spending $90.
About $90 for this car.
Dude, $90 at Party City.
In 1987.
Oh, my God.
$90 in Party City will buy you a Party City.
Yeah, I think you can open a franchise.
I have to take the whole Party City back to the studio.
What's that? Pick you up coffee, I think fucking not.
Well, what's Wesley doing?
Yeah. That it's the episode sort of ends with like, well, you did a good job driving my boat. Get back on the elevator.
Yeah, it's so stupid. I would be so fucking livid. You got to file a grievance with the union at this point because this is union labor.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. By the way, the captain not only left the ship on his own to do this away mission, he let a fucking child drive the galaxy class starship. By the way.
Well, technically, we hired you as an intern, and you're freelance now, so you don't really, I mean, you don't...
But Lance Flintwhistle of the Clan Flintwhistle has been working his way up, yes. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He's just, like, fucking scrubbing the plates, you know?
Scrubbing the plates.
The space plates.
This is the worst episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah,
might be the worst episode of Star Trek, period.
It might be. Yeah, well, let's put a pin in this and see as we go through the Nexus if we can find one that tops it. I don't think that we will.
Yeah.
Because not only is it's socially unconscionable what they do in this episode, but it's written so poorly. There's so much over-explaining about who characters are, what they do, what they like. Like, I think Data even says, you know, as a robot at one point. Like, it's like, we get it.
And almost everything they explain about their civilization is the shitty parts. It's never like, oh, man, and they created this fucking great, you know, symphony or they like found the cure. Well, they did find a cure, but like another cure to some other fucking space disease.
Well, my favorite detail, and it's kind of just the little joke I like making to myself while the episode started, but they say something about like they have this cure because there's some like magic like plant on their planet or whatever. I was like, so this episode is about the Enterprise crew tracking down a fucking magic herb, man.
Get me White Widow.
So clearly I think we can say that this month TOS wins
TNG. It's
big time.
Big time, yeah.
So the score I think is now we're 3-1. Because it's the fourth episode or third episode?
This is third.
Oh, so it's
third.
It's 2-1. So, because the Cage lost to
to the pilot of TNG.
Right.
And then TOS won.
It's 2-1.
It's 2-1 TOS. We'll see how
TOS winning,
Well, so while we're wrapping it up here, I did make a call out to people like, hey, you know, send in some slash. Maybe we'll read it on the program.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
So no one did that.
Good.
But I looked up one.
That's not the rule.
Okay. Rolled up my sleeves, right into it.
This is how we'll take this.
Okay.
And this will make it less gross.
Okay.
I'm not going to exaggerate. I'm going to read it plainly how it's written.
Uh-huh.
And you stop me when it's too much.
Okay.
When, you know, you could do your cue stuff.
I think I know the one you're going to read.
Yeah, because I said, okay. Yes. So the title of this story is called Daddy by Holy Leonards. I like that name. And this was found on archiveofourown.org. Summary, Picard adopts Data and teaches him how to potty.
Stop.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Wait, none of you read the thing?
No, of course not.
Okay, then you're going to fucking hear it.
All right.
Damn it.
You're paying for this. People are paying for this.
People, right.
Oh, don't think you won't pay.
Well, the thing is, if it's vastly unpopular, we'll never do it again. We will probably never do it again. There was a terrible stench filling the bridge of the Enterprise. None of the crew knew the source of such a foul stench. Counselor Troy picked up a cue, but she could not believe her brain. Captain, the stench is coming from that navigation seat.
Oh, no.
She pointed right at the robot in the golden shirt. Data, come with me to my quarters. Yes, sir. Picard sat down behind his desk and Data sat in the empty seat on the other side. What is going on with your exhaust, Data?
Your exhaust?
Processing.
Data's not shitting.
He's not a Chevrolet.
He's striving to become human. Okay.
Okay.
He's a shitting Chevrolet in this story.
Processing. It appears that I have to make a bowel movement. That's actually written in there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's really well written.
Data stood up and squatted. the metallic poop filled his Starfleet issue trousers.
Metallic? What is he eating?
Just Steve.
Dear God, Data, that is foul. Sorry, sir.
Let me get under this glass table, Mr. Data. I can get a better look.
You're making jokes.
Yeah.
The robot started to blush.
All right, A points off for your writing exercise.
Yeah, totally. Picard, you don't know how Data works.
It's really bad. Data felt like a son to him. Data seemed to be in need of a father.
Stop.
Okay, you want me to stop?
No.
All right.
We can fine. Stop.
No, it's fine, I guess. Because you know, I've been outvoted by listen, you people.
I might stop this in a paragraph.
Okay, all right. We'll go a
you just need
further.
To get to the turn.
Turn.
Or is it the turd?
The metallic poop wasn't the turn?
No, it's not. You were never potty trained, were you? No, sir. I never had a father that would do that with me. Well, Data, I would be honored to be your father. What do you say, son? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I have a father. Data jumped for joy, and tears were starting to form in his synthetic eyes.
You know what,
eyes.
Man? Watch a fucking Star Trek episode.
Yeah, totally. You're fucking fan fiction.
Calm down, son. Now we need you to get you to the toilet so you can start to potty. So we can start potty training you. They went into Picard's private bathroom.
Oh man, I wish this. Now I never wanted this to be filmed. However, I would like to see Picard's private bathroom.
I want you a whole episode, like a bottle episode, in that bathroom. Like
you know, maybe, it's immaculate.
Yeah,
it's immaculate.
And I think at least 100 of the people on the Enterprise are working in there. It's kind of like Mr. Burns's. Yes.
Picard was the only one to have his own private bathroom. Well,
damn right.
And he equipped it with potty training facilities just in case he snagged himself a new child.
Oh, what? Snagged? Snagged. In case somebody got marooned, I guess.
Now sit on the toilet and poop. Data sat down and waited. I don't feel anything, sir. I mean, Dad.
Oh.
Poop, Data. I want those logs, mister.
Could you?
It's all like grunting like that. Data forced out the bloodiest log of poop that has ever graced his perfect butthole.
Oh, my God. This writer is fucking terrible.
Not so hard, son. You're bleeding. Oh, Daddy, what did I do?
Stop. All right. Okay, stop. Yeah. Stop.
Well, I was going to say, I'm laughing more at Steve's.
I haven't made a noise in. I cannot even. Oh, you know what?
Yeah, we're definitely stopping, and we're never going to do this again. And I'm sorry for what happened, but let me just say it gets way worse.
It gets so much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it gets way worse.
Sometimes things on the internet aren't meant to be discovered.
No.
That's
you
the
know,
lesson.
You're allowed to have it in your own home, and that's totally great.
Are you, though?
I mean, depending on what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the FBI might have something to say about it.
Brent Spiner might have something to say about it.
Well, he needs to learn how to poo right.
He's great on that Outcast show.
That's a good
That's the only
end.
Good thing I can say about it after that.
What the hell is Outcast?
It's the other Kirkman adaptation. It's on Cinemax. Yeah, it is on the Cinemax.
Oh, it's like the Possession show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, with Patrick Fugit.
Oh, I see. All right, so to wrap up, we always give everybody homework for next month.
And do not send us slash fiction.
No,
absolutely
yeah, I think,
don't.
Well, we started that segment and we've ended that segment. I really just had to see what Steve would do.
I mean, it was
priceless.
I think it was a good experiment.
So next week, or next month, rather, on the Nexus, we're talking the original series episode Where No Man Has Gone Before.
I think we just heard that one,
and I believe that's actually the repilot, like the pilot, the one they've shot first after The Cage.
Right, oh, right. Yeah. And then for TNG fans, it's Data Learns to Go Potty is the episode.
No.
I keep saying, I know we get profane on Patreon.
That's what you're paying for.
That's where that money goes.
Yes. Well, someone else was getting profane. You didn't write that.
I'll be clean as a whistle on the next one.
I don't believe that, by the way.
I'll be as clean as a perfect bottle.
I don't believe you didn't write that. I'm gonna look up the username, and if the username has TJ Hooker anywhere near it, I know you wrote it.
That was like Space Leonard or something.
It was Hey underscore Leonard, I think.
Oh, Hey Leonard.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That might be a reference to Bones. I don't know.
Oh.
Or Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I meant. Spock, sorry.
Well, you know, Leonard McCoy, though.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
It could be either.
The TNG episode is The Last Outpost, so you want to catch that as well when we come back to the Nexus in December. So until then, thank you for subscribing and supporting the Patreon. Spread the word to your friends, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.